Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Are you making full use of your savings? Think of the times you've yearned for better returns. After real inflation, which is now close to 8%, taxes, etc., are you even making a profit? With food, clothing, and rent all more than doubling over the last 10 years, you need to do something different. Gambling on stocks might lose you a lot. And of course, wouldn't it be great to retire stress-free? A precious metals IRA with Noble Gold just might be the answer. And this month, Noble Gold is gifting a genuine rare Carson City minted Morgan Silver dollar with every qualifying IRA or 401k. These coins were around when an ounce of silver was worth an actual dollar. An 1893 example in mint condition is now worth around $3,250. This is the power of long-term precious metals investing. So get in touch with the experts at Noble Gold and talk through your options today. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
But for the United States of America, what you're seeing right now, it's unprecedented. In 20, 30, 40 years, people are going to talk about the inflation of 2022. This is insane. You cannot, you're vaporizing trillions of dollars.
That was our friend Lior Gantz from Wealth Research Group. And the news is not good, guys. Based on what we're seeing over the past couple of weeks, hyperinflation appears to be here. And it's going to be much more painful than your friends, neighbors, and uninformed colleagues could ever imagine. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. The Russia-Ukraine crisis. Canada's prime minister claims emergency power. Just because the world is in chaos doesn't mean your finances should be. Invest in cryptocurrency with MyDigitalMoney.com. You can buy and sell crypto in your crypto IRA to enjoy tax advantages or trade in cash. No need for multiple platforms. All your crypto investing needs in one platform. MyDigitalMoney.com also has U.S.-based phone support. You can call MyDigitalMoney.com for help or any questions, and you'll get a real live human being to talk to right here in the United States. Go to MyDigitalMoney.com. That's MyDigitalMoney.com. Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I'm really excited to have this call. It's with my friend Lior Gantz. He's the founder of Wealth Research Group. And as fate would have it, we were scheduled to have Lior back on about a month ago, but he had to cancel. And actually for us, and the timing right now of that cancellation is great because the world has gone haywire over the past month. But Lior, I think you had a baby or two, did you not? Did you have twins?
I did. But the reason I canceled was not because we had the twin boys, but because I said, if I cancel and push it to the 8th of March, we will do it on the all-time high for gold. No, I'm just kidding.
I wish I could call up that email and prove that as being true. That would have been very prescient. As we're having the conversation today, gold is up $56 at $2,054. Silver is up $1.13 at $26.61. So Bank of America and JP Morgan must be peeing their pants. Bank of America specifically.
Oh, man.
Platinum is up $50 at $1,179. But here's the real story. This is the story. This is the chart of charts that I must share. This is what a unsuppressed precious metal looks like. It's called palladium, and it's up 82.3% in just the past 3 months. And today alone, as we're having this conversation, it's up 10%. That is what a precious metal should do in times like these, not $2,000 gold and $26 silver.
Yeah. It's a big day though, that's for sure. With only 1 week to go, Sean, until the Fed makes its policy decision on raising rates or not, and by how much, I mean, gold is looking really good. Because here's the thing, when you compare gold's performance to where most people have their funds, which is the in traditional stocks, I mean, gold is having one of its best years, best start of the year, so January, February, in history. Because usually, let's say if gold was just up like it is right now, probably what, 5, 6, 7%. Still, it's amazing. And we are still at all-time highs as we're doing this interview. But the fact of the matter is, because the NASDAQ has gone down by over 20% and the S&P 500 has gone down by about 14% and the Dow by 12%. And that's the average. If you actually go down and look at it from a deep dive, which I did yesterday, Sean, out of the NASDAQ 100 companies, 82%, which is 82 companies, are down for 2022, are red in 2022, 82%. 82 companies out of 100 companies in the NASDAQ are down for the year. Out of them, most are down over 20%. So it's like 71 companies are in a bear market. 367 out of the 500 companies in the S&P 500 are in the last 3 months gone down by over 20%. We're in one of the worst overall times for the stock market that I've seen since I began investing at the age of 16 in June of 2000. And the reason is because you have so much conflicting data. Usually a recession is so much clearer. You have a poor job market. You have a lot of problems with corporations. They don't report record earnings. They don't report like Apple and Microsoft did just a month ago, reporting the best fiscal quarters in corporate America's history. It doesn't happen at the same time. So here you have a situation where, because of what happened in the last 2 years, precisely 2 years, if you remember March 8th, 2020 is when we got into the first global lockdown. I mean, what the world has gone through, and with everything that's happened in the past 2 years, this is incredible what's going on. There's so much conflicting data. You have high inflation, very tight labor market. People don't want to go back to work. At the same time, you have companies that are the cream of the crop for corporate America going down 50, 60, 70%. You have metals at all-time highs. You even see supply shortages being this bad that nickel prices went up over 100% in one day.
Yeah, 83%, I think, yesterday alone. And it reminded me of Kyle Bass, who very smartly back in around 2010 bought $1 million worth of nickels. He bought 20 million nickels and he took delivery. He saw this day coming, Lior, and I'll put the article up on screen here so people know that's actually true. Let me ask you about gold. A lot of talk about, will millennials buy gold? Will young people buy gold? Well, what I've come to realize is it doesn't matter what the average Joe does. The deep pocketed billionaires, the big money, the Wall Street money, the family offices, the institutional investors, the central banks will be buying these precious metals in times like these. And it really begs the question, how much longer can JP Morgan and Bank of America suppress these prices? Once they break out, I mean, I think silver should be 200, 300, 400, 500. It should be doing what palladium's doing now. And gold, where should gold be really in a world like this, priced at what, 5,000, 10,000?
Yeah, I think there's more upside for both. And I want to share some statistics if you don't mind. So the Fed since 1971 has embarked on 6 rate hike cycles, twice in the 70s, one in the 90s, one in the 2000s. I'm sorry, two in the 2000s and the recent one between 2015 and 2018. So 6 times we've seen rate hike cycles. Would you guess in how many of these gold has gone up? It's 6 out of 6. Once the Fed starts to raise interest rates from the artificially low levels, in other words, when the liftoff begins, gold goes up at 100% of the time, 6 out of 6. And actually, since 1957, before we were even off the gold standards, in 12 rate hike cycles, gold has gone up even on the gold standard when it was 35 to 1 and you had dark pools and other ways of trading it. Gold always goes up when you raise interest rates. The reason is because raising interest rates is the end of speculation on whether or not inflation is a problem. This is the Fed saying inflation is a problem. Now we handle it. And it's a signal to the market of two things. One, that there's a lot of inflation out there. And so it brings new people to the table, people that were unsure, people that were saying this is temporary, this is transitory, this is that. It's not as bad as you think. Secondly, the markets are beginning to price the next step. And what's the next step after a rate cycle of raising rates? It is to lower rates. So the markets are already starting to price debasement, because when you do quantitative tightening, when you reduce the balance sheet, when you sell off your asset, the next step is quantitative easing, obviously. So the market's already forward-looking and starting to see that. Now, how much has gold gone up in those six rate hike cycles? When we prepared for your show, the wealthresearchgroup.com/2022 or the 2022 download report with our estimates on gold and how the economic outlook would be for the year, I said that gold goes up on average. You can go through the charts, and it's a very good PDF download report. It shows that gold goes on average on a 30% move. Let's say we start it next week and gold is conservatively 1900 and not over 2000 like it is today. 30% is $570. So it takes you from 1900 to 2500 or 2470. Now, this is on the most conservative average of the last six cycles. But let's look at those six cycles and really determine if they are anywhere close to what we see today.
Well, can I interrupt? Before you take us there, let me just interrupt and say, whatever cycles you're going to take us through cannot hold a candle to what we've been through in just the past few years with this monetary inflation. Okay, they've been printing into oblivion. We're now a nation $30 trillion in debt. And if we go back to that chart I just put up, that's with a credit to Mike Maloney, who took his viewers through this chart yesterday. These price changes here, friends, in palm oil, soy, copper, aluminum, nickel, crude oil, corn, gasoline, and wheat, these price changes, wheat up 40% in just 1 week, a week. So Lior, just to be crystal clear here, I want the audience to know, we're not just talking about inflation at this point. If this continues, that's hyperinflation. What we're beginning to witness is hyperinflation. And by the way, again, palladium up nearly 100% in just the past 3 months. So I want people to really understand this is an important, sobering conversation, because what we've been warning about for more than a decade, you know, what John Williams at ShadowStats has been warning about for more than a decade, is the potential for hyperinflation of the US dollar and hyperinflation, therefore, all over the world.
I would argue we're already in hyperinflation for an economy as modern and robust as the US economy. The US government does not operate on 7 or 8% CPI, which obviously implies about 12 or 13% when you account for everything else. That's not on the CPI or not measured correctly or not right. If you take the average person and you ask them, okay, how much has your rent gone up? How much do you pay more of this? Their lives have gone more than 8% up in terms of what they need to pay for everything. They've gone up a lot more. So that we're already in hyperinflation. The United States is not Zimbabwe. It's not going to, cancel the U.S. dollar. This is not where this is going. But for America, for a country that has the biggest population of millionaires, the wealthiest generation in history with the baby boomers, for these types of people that have worked for 40 years, you know, since you're 20, work until you're 60, you save, you put them for retirement, and then you see a 10% net reduction in your purchasing power. That's like 20% before taxes, right? 10% on your net, you lose in 1 year. Let's say you saved up $1 million. You just got a haircut of $100,000 in real terms. That's insane. In countries that you know, people don't have this much saved up and they don't bank on this, and it doesn't, the economy doesn't operate on large sums and on net on retirement accounts, etc. I mean, prices can go up by a gazillion percent because people don't have savings, and these are banana republics. But for the United States of America, what you're seeing right now, it's unprecedented. In 20, 30, 40 years, people are going to talk about the inflation of 2022. This is insane. You cannot, you're vaporizing trillions of dollars with this inflation. And by the way, there were so many chances to fix this, both from the Fed and from the government. The Biden administration is one of the disasters in terms of lack of creativity. America has 2,000 ports, 2,000 ports, and 40% of every of all ships that come in go to two ports, Long Beach and Los Angeles. It doesn't make sense. There's 1,998 other ports available. There's a law called the Jones Act from 100 years ago that disrupts all these supply chains. You have ships that are outside of Los Angeles for 12 days. You have shipments that are waiting for 9 days. I mean, they could have done so many incentives to the chip manufacturers. When you manufacture chips for cars, it's the less profitable. The niche ones, the smaller ones, the high-tech ones make much more profit. They needed to incentivize all the chip manufacturers to prioritize cars. You can't have lots of thousands of cars just waiting for the chips. It creates all sorts of problems. And a president with an economic and financial mindset does not allow a day to go by without creating some better regulations, more incentives, tax incentives. You have the power of the United States government at your disposal, and there's nothing. It's one plan, the Build Back Better.
That's
and
right.
Nothing happens. I mean, come on. You have 16 million people working for the U.S. government. 16 million people. There's so much that can be done on the ground to get ports running 24/7. Relax the health measures. I mean, look, you know, on other presidents, I am positively sure that they would have created a five-star type of accommodation for all the port workers. You would not leave the port. You know, there would be all sorts of things where they don't have 10% of the workforce in January was out because of the Omicron at home. 10% of the workforce for ports.
But look,
at the supply chain in history. It's insane.
Lior, it's not insane, though, and I think you know this. It's not insane when you know that what they're doing, yes, it's illogical to those of us who care about our country. But when you are subscribed, when you are on board with the World Economic Forum and the Build Back Better plan, when you are really a puppet of Klaus Schwab and those above him, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, well, Biden is carrying out the plan to a T, the plan to destroy this country, which is what the New World Order wants. They want to crash America. And this man is doing exactly what I said Hillary Clinton would do had she beaten Trump and gotten into the White House. We would have already gone through this Ukraine war with Putin. This would have already happened had Clinton been in. And I want to get to that in a second, this Ukraine-Putin thing. But what Biden is doing, remember on day one, he canceled the XL pipeline. Day one. Within the first week, he ended most of the federal leasing for oil and gas rigs. He ended all those federal leases. The man is a demon. He's a traitor to the country. The borders are wide open. So what we're seeing right now is a direct result of a stolen election. Elections have consequences. Stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. And that is not what I wanted to share. Hold on. Take a look at this, Lior. Biden is now saying the ban on Russian energy applies to all new purchases, will allow 40-day wind down on existing. This is not going to get any better before it gets worse. It's going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better if this guy doesn't open up our energy resources in this country. Remember, we were energy independent under Donald Trump. That's all changed since this guy and the Democrats literally stole the election, Lior.
Yeah. So I have a couple of you know, anecdotes that I can tell you. First of all, my wife, she came to Israel in 1999 from the Ukraine. And she actually was born and lived until the age of 14 when she came here in the Donetsk region, one of the separatist regions that are like the pro-Russian supposedly regions. And so her father still lives there. We chat with him like daily because it's insanity what's going on there for like 8 years now. It's a very interesting situation with everything that transpired between the West and Russia and the Ukraine. But it boils down to a phenomenal lack of communications and distrust. And that's what we're seeing for the past 2 years. And it reminds me a lot of how in our own history for the country of Israel, the Kippurim Day War started basically in the same way. You had a new president for Egypt who was deemed to be very weak and he would not last even a year. He would call Jerusalem. He would try to speak with the prime minister. He would try to create some sort of a communication and create a line of speaking, and she wouldn't answer his phone. And I'm talking about Golda Meir, was the only female prime minister for Israel. So after like a year, he said, you know what? I'll show you what it is like not to speak with me. And then 1973 and everything that you remember began, and it started a global oil shock. It's very similar to what we're seeing today, where Putin got to a point where he felt like, you know, either justifiably or not, everyone can theorize on this, but that the West is, you know, trying to tighten a noose on him with NATO and EU and everything else. And if you look at the geopolitical map, I mean, if Ukraine becomes a NATO member and you put missiles on the 2,000-kilometer border they share with the Russians, those missiles are 5 minutes away from hitting Moscow. And it's literally textbook what happened in the 60s when the U.S. put the same types of missile systems in Turkey and in Italy, and they were striking distance from Moscow. You had two nuclear weaponized planes flying over the USSR at all times above radar, at all times, literally, for the entire year. So Khrushchev, their prime minister, he said, well, I'll show you how this kind of pressure feels like. And he started to transport with the submarines all of the infrastructure he needed to create the same thing, which is missiles in striking distance in Cuba, and almost started World War III. I mean, we were so close to World War III. To people who don't know the story, one Russian submarine contained three officers instead of two. The two regular ones are the submarine captain and the political attaché. And on this particular one, there was the commander of the entire flotilla of all the fleet of submarines. The Americans have already started to drop these, the word in English eludes me, but it's not a real bomb that goes off, but it's like a demi bombs that go off beside the submarine, and they create a lot of noise, but they can't do damage. But you feel like you're being bombed. So you do that in order for the submarine to surrender and to float up. Basically, the crew surrenders. And the Americans start to do that. And in order to deploy a nuclear warhead, you need the two commanders, the two officers that I said to say, you know, agreed, let's do it. And, you know, when these guys left Moscow, they were under the impression that, hey, by the time you get to Cuba, this thing can already begin. The Americans can already start bombing us. They both said yes. They both already told the crew to arm the nuclear missiles that the submarine was equipped with. And he was the one that vetoed it. For 3 hours, these guys are getting these bombs dropped from the surface down to their levels. They erupt by the side of the submarine. They had all the excuse in the world to do it, and we were this close. you can Google this person and how, you know, it's a story of how to stay calm and, you know, and disciplined and not take on the burden of starting, of becoming
World
the
War
new
three. Right. Well, yes. Let me share a story.
We're
about
really
that.
Close.
Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Just a quick word about our sponsor. You know, inflation is killing your retirement. The real rate of inflation, it's close to 8%, and it won't let you keep up or make a profit. You really need a different approach. Precious metals, which by the way has gold nearing $2,000 an ounce again, not Robin Hood or stocks that can crash and leave you losing your money, an IRA or 401k with Noble Gold just may be the answer. And this month, Noble Gold is gifting a genuine rare Carson City minted Morgan Silver dollar with every qualifying IRA or 401k. Find out more at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Well, yes. Let me share a story.
We're
about
really that. Close.
I know. And let me share a story about the Cuban Missile Crisis. Young people won't know this. The Joint Chiefs were pushing John F. Kennedy to go to nuclear war. The Joint Chiefs wanted a nuclear exchange with Russia. And the only reason it didn't happen is because we had a good president with a sound mind who picked up the phone and talked to Khrushchev. Yes. Unprecedented. He picked up the phone and the two leaders of the two superpowers had a discussion. And then they backed off. It brought us back from the brink. Now, yeah. I want people to understand the issue we have right now is that we have a lunatic in the White House. We have a lunatic in the White House who most certainly does not have a sound mind and most certainly is a puppet that will do whatever he's told. Your point about what's going on in Ukraine is spot on. And anybody who hasn't seen it needs to watch the latest movie, the documentary basically here by Oliver Stone, Ukraine on Fire. You can find that on my site, thephaser.com. And
wow. He
went there and he talked to these players. He talked to the people in Ukraine. He talked to the leaders. He talked to Putin. And Putin says exactly what you're saying, which is those weapon systems will be in Ukraine the minute Ukraine joins NATO. So it cannot be allowed. So what Putin is doing is he's defending his country. He's defending his nation from the Rothschilds, from the Rockefellers, from the New World Order. These are my views on this. You can weigh in if you think I'm wrong. But here's the point I wanted to make. I wrote this down last night, Lior. The monopoly men are getting dumb Americans, just look at these idiots in Hollywood, to celebrate and demand their own demise as Russia gets banned from SWIFT, Visa, American Express, Russian gas banned. So Russia embraces China. Inflations and commodities are soaring every single day. And these idiots in Hollywood, in the mainstream media, cheerlead and want to stand with Ukraine when they don't even understand anything that you and I have just discussed.
And you know, when I speak with people, I don't think people really realize sanctions are war. That there's no difference between sending troops and doing what the West is doing. The Russia, this is a global war already. You can even argue that sending 100,000 troops would create way more bloodshed, but what they're doing right now is putting a lot more pressure. This is war. So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is operate from the standpoint that the war between the US and Russia has already begun. This is war. What you're seeing right now, banning oil. I mean, remember how the Japanese went to Pearl Harbor, right? They had a 3-month import ban on everything, and Japan imports 95% of everything that they consume because they're an island that doesn't produce much back in the 40s. This is pushing countries to the brink, to the limit. So we are at war. This is a war for sure. And now it becomes a question of one, is there a way out of it for Putin? Because a country like the Ukraine, it's huge. It's the biggest in terms of its mass in Europe. If you plot it on Spain or France or Germany, it's bigger. It's 40 million people. 20% of them consider themselves to be Russians. 80% consider themselves not to be Russians. You're seeing a lot of resistance to keep the army and feed it and clothe it and do whatever you need with it the Russians can't handle that kind of an operation on an ongoing basis. And so we are reaching a point where it's going to come to some sort of a boiling point for Russia. And I wonder what can that be? And now if I take this to even a bigger bird's eye view, as we know, and look, I'm in Tel Aviv. So I understand conflicts. I have been through conflict my entire life. Where I live 22 years ago, people used to get on buses and blow up, and you'll see 60 pairs of legs on the streets. This was almost a monthly occurrence here. And there's been wars, and the Middle East is for 4,000 years, it's been the world's most notorious place to fight. But look, what's going on right now is going to shape how China feels about starting to look at taking Taiwan back. And that's one where the U.S. is going to intervene. So where you see here a clear line in the sand where the U.S. doesn't send troops to fight, Taiwan is a whole different situation.
Yeah, it is. But let me ask you this. Do you think that the U.S. would intervene with this phony president? I'm not so sure. You know, if Trump was in, see, none of this would be happening if Trump was in, because he's a real leader and he actually knows how to have discourse. He actually knows how to have a conversation with somebody. He could actually have a conversation with Putin before all of this happened. And what Biden and the New World Order powers, Victoria Nuland, what these people want is exactly what's happening. They want this confrontation. You know, they want this. Look, they're in the pocket of the globalists. They are globalists. Obama's a globalist. Okay, these are all Klaus Schwab proteges, really. It's essentially Rothschild proteges. And what they're doing is exactly what they want to happen. And so I'm not so sure that that if China makes any moves, that this weak president will do anything.
Well, I think the big mistake was the way that they folded out of Afghanistan. It was so televised and so bad. It was just horrible. It really showed in the same light, Sean, that the British showed Germany back in World War II and before World War II, in the years before, how they didn't want any more intervention.
It was humiliating. It was humiliating on purpose. It was done that way, again, to demoralize our nation, demoralize the military. Look what this idiot's doing to the military. He's drumming out good men and women, some of whom I've interviewed, because they don't want to take the experimental death shot.
Yeah.
He's destroying the military, and he's demoralizing our nation, and it's all by design.
Yeah, I don't know, like, the details of whether or not this was on purpose done so catastrophically or just happened to be a catastrophe of mismanagement. My point is, it was so bad that it gave both China and Russia the clear signal that you have a transition president, obviously, right? You don't have a real leader. People didn't choose Biden because they love Biden. They, whoever picked and went to the ballot and put the Biden in, it's because he just did not want the alternative. And so it's, you're already in a situation where you catch America in a transitionary period, not a real period, where, you know, the president doesn't have real cheerleaders.
No,
right?
You know what? I'm laughing because we're in a transitionary period, because I think he's transitioning the United States from a male into a female. He's literally cutting off the private parts of the United States as he transitioned. Yeah, he's the transgender president. He's taking he's transforming America. You're right.
Okay. So yeah, you're catching America in a very bad stage. Then you have inflation. It's obviously played into Putin's thinking here that, hey, this country is grappling with a lot of issues. The last thing they need is an oil shock. So obviously that played into it. But and such a divisive Washington, a dysfunctional political landscape. I mean, all of the, it's just fertile ground to test these kinds of things and to try more audacious political maneuvering and even military, as we see. And look, the Taiwan situation, to me, besides cyber threats, I think besides like cyber hacks on a national level, I think the Taiwan situation is going to be the biggest geopolitical standoff of this decade. There's definitely going to happen something between now and the end of the decade with Taiwan. If you know a little bit of background there, the South China Sea, which is international territorial waters, they're building dozens of artificial islands on it with only a base and an airstrip. They have more than 2,000 times sent, and I'm talking about China, sent military jets over the Taiwanese air, territorial air. They call it the AZD. And they basically, this was on purpose, but it's basically a big F you, we don't care about your, you know, your aerial territories. And I don't know, they already did it with Hong Kong. Taiwan is a different thing, obviously, but I mean, that to me, that's where this thing can escalate to the highest level, to the real threat levels that everyone dreads. With Russia and the Ukraine, it's hard for me to see this escalating a lot more than it already has. But with China and Russia are not the same thing. China, in about 5 years, so by 2027, they will officially be the world's largest economy by GDP. And by 2032 or 2033, they will have the biggest military.
Yeah,
we're going through the biggest change in the past 100 plus years right now.
Well, we are. And let me add to this. If we get back to this idea of inflation, hyperinflation, the death of the currency, I do want to make the point that if you wanted to destroy the nation, if you were a traitor, if you were somebody who did not have the best interests of the United States at heart, and you found yourself in the White House, you would do exactly what this man has done. And what he's doing by trying to be hard-nosed and go hardline with Russia is he's forcing Russia into the arms of China, okay? And Russia and China, once they totally team up, they're going to ditch the dollar in a heartbeat. Yeah, okay, Russia already is being forced out of the dollar. From a playing chess perspective, what Biden is doing is heavy-handed, clumsy, and not in the best interests of our nation, but that's exactly what his handlers want. But if there's good news we can share with the audience, it's this, you might be right. Zelensky is ready to discuss and find compromise on Crimea, no longer insists on NATO membership, says I've cooled down regarding this question. That's a big, big deal. The Ides of March, boy, man, we're just in the thick of it, aren't we, Lior? Let me ask you crypto. Yeah. I know a lot of the folks listening to my program are down on Bitcoin. I mean, they don't like Bitcoin. They don't like crypto. That's totally cool. I get it. But I want to talk about crypto and Bitcoin simply because I think there are opportunities to invest in some projects that are not part of the new world order. They're not evil. Not all blockchain is bad. And since there's been such a huge correction in crypto over the last couple of months, I'm seeing some really cheap, in my view, much cheaper than they were, tokens or coins that people could dabble in. For instance, Chainlink at $13 to me is cheap. Polkadot at 15 or 16 is cheap. Ethereum and Bitcoin have both corrected. Your thoughts on crypto? Do you see any opportunity in that space? And do you have any long-term projections for Bitcoin?
So first of all, with what you're saying, the U.S. has done to Russia what they did to Iran, but it's not a similar situation. Iran is not Russia. Now you've weaponized SWIFT on a first world country. That's not a, this is not a religious leadership type, Islamic country. This is a European country with a rich heritage, et cetera, of being part of like the modern society. When you go to Moscow or St. Petersburg and you visit Russia, you're seeing very westernized society, even though, you know, it's not the same culture or anything like that, but they live in very similar way, consumerism, et cetera. And now you've weaponized against that kind of a country, and you're seeing obviously all these Western corporations either banning or exiting or temporarily stopping to do business in Russia. You've now created a precedence that tells other countries this can happen to you. And yes, it is shifting the world order towards, hey, you know, if I look at this, what is the one thing that the US cannot intervene with? And it is crypto. They can intervene to an extent with gold because it does trade on exchanges that are centralized, but they literally cannot do anything with Bitcoin, right? So this is really where a lot of people that would never look at Bitcoin, just ordinary Ukrainians and Russians and other Europeans, and just by default, every one of us looking at this are saying, well, hey, why don't I own just a little bit of it? And you don't need a lot of the population to make that kind of conclusion for the price and the value of Bitcoin and the other big ones to rise. These are things that are impactful. You're living through historic times. Sometimes we feel like the people that live through other times had somehow a worse, more horrific type environment, but these are pretty treacherous times that we're seeing the last 2 years. They've been unprecedented. So, I mean, if you're looking at this now from, hey, this is going to be a great user experience, it's easy to work in a digital world with Bitcoin, et cetera. Now if you're looking at this as someone who's saying, look, what if this happens, God forbid, in my country? Or what if this happens to my business? Or what if I end up with a prime minister like in Canada, where I get my bank account seized for having an opinion of this or that? Bitcoin is really interesting for all of these scenarios. And you don't need much of it to be, to protect yourself, because you're protecting against very rare situations. But still, look, what I did with gold and silver, for example, is I calculated how much would 2 years worth of my living expenses be, in other words, 24 months, and I converted that fiat currency into gold. So for example, if my household spends theoretically $5,000 a month, just to make it easy, times 24, $120,000, you take that fiat, convert it into gold and silver, physical gold and silver, you decide your the way you divide between the two. But now you have a nest egg that's in physical gold and silver. Why not do the same process with Bitcoin? Because obviously it's not going away. It's here. It has a bigger and bigger ecosystem every year. If anything, you can argue that it's just gaining more traction from with each passing year. It's obviously volatile, but you're not trying to play it or own it for a short period. You're literally taking it on as part of your life. So, I see it as something that just evolved with this conflict between Russia and the Ukraine. It just made it more valuable, just made that network more important. And if you think about leaving the country, you're seeing millions of people move through the Polish border the Romanian border, et cetera. I mean, think about what's one of the easiest ways to carry a lot of value around. And that's with like a little wallet that carries all your Bitcoins.
Yeah, or your 12-word seed phrase in your head. You can literally carry millions of dollars across any border in the world if you understand Bitcoin, and if you have cold storage, and if you can memorize a 12 or 24-word seed phrase. Yeah, it is an unprecedented technology. It never existed before. And when we see these countries do the tyrannical things they've done, we've seen the tyranny in Australia, Western countries, Australia, New Zealand, Canada. It's probably coming to America if this demon gets to be president for much longer as well. And by the way, I do want your Bitcoin projection if you have one, but I just want to share this with people. Yeah. When we talk about a $3,254 palladium price and an unsuppressed price of palladium, it really does beg the question, what should the real world price be of silver? Well, the real world price of silver right now, if you want to buy an ounce, my buddies over at SD Bullion, they sponsor my site. They're a sponsor over at sgtreport.com. Right now, despite the stated price of silver being $26 an ounce, if you actually want to buy the physical, you can get it as low as $37.95 over at SD Bullion. And would it surprise people to know, at Atmix, you can get it as low as $38.43. So it's a little cheaper at SD Bullion. The point is that's more than $10 over spot. Yeah. $10 over spot. So the real world price of silver is already much higher than that COMEX Wall Street manipulated price of $26.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. These two markets type scenarios, they exist in these types of situations, because you literally have a group of people that don't consider SLV or silver options or silver ETFs. They don't consider them viable. So you do have two markets. It's 100% true for people that really understand the difference between owning a vehicle that tracks the price and owning a physical coin. It's not the same asset. You don't own the same thing. You literally don't. It's tax different. It's everything is different about it. So yeah, it's not going to stop. You're going to have that dynamic all the time. You were asking before, Sean, about millennials buying precious metals, etc. Silver is where you should be looking, because to most people, when they want to speculate and get into precious metals, it's the gateway is silver. And the fact that you're seeing it at 26 or 26-ish is very indicative that the retail is just not in yet. If you Google on Bloomberg, like Bloomberg biggest one-day inflow to GLD ETF, you will see that the biggest one-day purchase of GLD ETF shares outstanding was this January 19th or 21st, 2022, the biggest one day inflow. So Wall Street hedge funds are definitely getting into gold. They understand what's going on. They understand all these problems that we're seeing that are not going away. It has only accelerated. So this move, I do think that this move is more institutional, because you're not seeing the move in silver yet. Once you see a silver going above 29.50 on the COMEX, that is the real resistance. If it goes above it, if it goes above it, the price on the COMEX is going to go from 29.50 to about 36 in days.
Well, Lior, let me just make the point too. When we talk about retail and you say retail's not in it yet and blah, 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 I understand where you're coming from. However, it needs to be stated and restated that silver is such a small market that it doesn't take many people who want the stuff to drive the price many multiples higher. And the only thing that caps this price, the only thing that has prevented that from happening over the last 10 years, as Max Kaiser and me and others bought silver and made videos about it, as Bix Weir and so many others and you have made videos about it, as the Wall Street silver guys are now involved in it. The only thing that has prevented silver from tripling and quadrupling in price and going up exponentially is the paper manipulation. Now, just a week or two ago, when silver crashed and they wanted to bring it down below the 200-day moving average, Bank of America sold more than 1 billion ounces of paper silver into the market. That's why we're at $26 silver. So I just want to drive the point home that anybody that gets physical silver at these prices, your progeny, I think, will thank you in the future, because this is lunacy. These are the cheapest prices of silver, the cheapest price, I think, in human history right now, $26.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I say retail, what I meant is millennial retail. So millennials, they traditionally have not been part of the risk managements for these 8 big shorts that are very concentrated on the silver COMEX that you're talking about. They do not think of millennials as a risk group. So for them, if millennials do enter silver, like you say, and move its price very easily, because it's such a niche and small market for the type of money that's out there, I mean, you're right. And then another thing to point out, and I've made this point before, silver is used in so many thousands of industrial applications, but it's used in micro amounts. So the theory that if silver is 50 or 60, it's not sustainable. It's like oil at 200. That's not true.
Yeah, it's nonsense. I mean, it's just like palladium at $3,200 an ounce. Yeah, they use it in catalytic converters, but they're still going to make catalytic converters, and they're going to put them on cars, and they're going to use palladium. It's so stupid. It's so stupid, Lior. I used to hear people say, well, if silver's ever $600 or $700 an ounce, that won't be a world you want to live in. I'm like, well, okay, that's retarded. That's stupid, because guess what? Corn and wheat up 80% in a week, that's not a world you want to live in either. So if they could just stop suppressing silver, it would make a lot of us happier.
I agree.
Hey, will you tell people how they can get that Wealth Research Group report?
Sure. First of all, Wealth Research Group is a newsletter. So if you go to our website, you can subscribe to the newsletter. The newsletter is basically taking everything that I do on a given day in terms of economics, speaking with hedge fund managers, CEOs of companies, et cetera, and taking all these thoughts into an article. So those go out 3 times a week. And then on top of that, my personal portfolio and everything I'm looking at personally, I cover that. You can actually go to our website, and on the top menu, you'll see a tab that's called Portfolio 24/7. That's where you can access my portfolio. There's one right next to it that's called Watch Lists. And those are companies that I'm looking at, and special reports. Those are a wide array of PDF downloads. One of them is the 2022 Economic Outlook, which you can just go to wealthresearchgroup.com/2022, and you can download that. It comes chock full with all these graphs and charts on the historical precedents and how important raising interest rates actually is for the price of gold to go to above $2,500 an ounce.
Very good. And what's the website again?
Wealthresearchgroup.com.
All right. Our guest has been Lior Gantz. Lior, I appreciate your time. I think it was a spirited conversation, and the world is only going to get more crazy as we move forward, as we move toward that UN Agenda 2030, Klaus Schwab, Brave New World, Build Back Better nonsense. I think the world's going to abandon it, man. I don't think they can get us there if people wake up, and people are waking up. That's the good news about what's going on here.
It's certainly not a popular idea.
No.
I can tell you that.
And Joe Biden did not get 81 million votes. He's not a popular guy. That I also know to be true. All right, guys. Our guest has been Lior Gantz. Thanks, Lior.
Thank you very much.
And friends, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, a very special thank you to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. I really want to thank you guys personally. And it's a heartfelt thanks, because you are the folks keeping us in the fight for real news and truth, as people like Anderson Cooper make $12 million a year and CNN has a staff of 3,000 people. Let that sink in. The work I do, I'm a one-man band. Of course, I have my webmaster and my contributor, Matt, at SGT Report. That's it. No 3,000 people, no multi-million dollar salaries, but the truth will win in the end. And you can get it every single day for free at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate CNN, Mockingbird, mainstream media propaganda. God bless you and your family, guys. Bye-bye.
These are crimes against humanity. They're planned, and they are deliberately putting out false information and then persecuting those physicians like Dr. Chambers and myself and many others who are presenting the truth based upon what the scientific studies have shown for at least the last 20 years.